This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The double-edged sword of low, low interest rates. I'm David Brancaccio. The Federal Reserve has now decided to keep interest rates super low, near zero. That's great as a stimulus in a time of need, but for savers, it stinks. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer asked the Fed Chairman Jay Powell about this yesterday. Nancy, savers, including many older people, do get terrible returns.
They do, David. According to Bankrate, the average savings account is only paying a little more than 0.5% interest. And if you tie your money up in a five-year CD, you're getting an interest rate of just around 1.3%.
Mr. Powell have advice for people living off savings?
He didn't. He did say that low interest rates tend to push up the value of a home, so that helps savers who are homeowners. Powell said low interest rates help businesses hire people, and they encourage consumer spending.
And I think for the overall good of the economy, low interest rates are a good thing. It's not to say they're good for every single person, but that shouldn't stop us from doing what we think is good for the whole.
But Nancy, the chairman will never say how long interest rates will stay low.
Right. He didn't. He just said rates will stay where they are until the Fed is confident the economy has weathered the effects of the coronavirus outbreak. Powell said the Fed will be very patient and it's not in any hurry to move rates up.
Nancy, thank you. Since the end of the Great Depression, the oil giant Royal Dutch Shell has shared a piece of its profit by sending dividends to investors every quarter without fail for 80 years until COVID. Here's the BBC's business correspondent, Dominic O'Connell.
Shell's results this morning were nervously awaited by pension funds and all others who rely on stock market dividends for their income. It's the biggest single payer of dividends in the FTSE 100, last year accounting for more than 12% of all payments to shareholders. It hasn't missed a payment since the Second World War. Shell did keep its dividend despite the huge drop in the oil price in the last few weeks, but it cut it by more than two-thirds. The company said that maintaining a high level of payments was simply not prudent. In the first quarter of this year, its profits halved compared to the same period last year, and it said the fall in the oil price and the deterioration of economic conditions was unprecedented.
Crude oil is up 16% this morning, still under $18 a barrel. That FTSE 100 in London down 0.8%. Here, the S&P future is up 0.2%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
It's the end of April here, and some of us have now made it through all 12 chapters. Some are still hacking their way through the jungle. Others have pledged to get going on it, the free intro economics textbook. This week on Marketplace's Econ Extra Credit, an unusual argument for why we should read up. It's because the robots who might grab our job are learning economics themselves. Game theory from economics and mathematics helps robots strategize to get what they want. Let's talk to the robot's teacher, University of California, Berkeley computer science professor Anka Dragan.
game theory comes from the fact that neither the human nor the robot make decisions about what to do in pursuit of their goals in a vacuum. They're aware of each other. And this is where the game comes in. The robot would like to stay out of everyone's way, but at the same time, it has to make progress towards its destination. So from time to time, it actually needs to get people to make space for it. And so there comes this tension. What people do influences what the robot does. What the robot does influences what people do. It's this back and forth. It's kind of a negotiation. And game theory gives us this way to formalize all of that.
If only human beings acted rationally, which is the way economists used to assume we do, and then they realize, no, we don't quite.
That's absolutely right. So one thing that makes all of this very challenging is that once you think about it in these game theoretic terms, the easiest thing to do is to do what traditional economics does, which is assume that people are these perfect little game players. They're perfect optimizers. They're perfect utility maximizers. And we're not. And behavioral economics has told us that for a long time. And so another aspect of all this work that we're trying to pursue is to get more realistic assumptions about human behavior that build on these game theoretic principles, but adapt them to how real people out there actually work. We've had this realization that sometimes people seem like they're being very suboptimal, they're being very irrational, but actually what they're doing might make a lot of sense under their own sort of internal model of the world, under their own internal beliefs. So much like with human-human interaction, like if I look at you, David, and you tell me, oh, Anka, I just sold a bunch of stocks on the market now that the market is down. I'm not going to think that, oh, David is selling stocks when the market is down, therefore David wants to lose money. I'm going to think that, oh, David must assume that the market is going to crash even more, right? And that's why he's selling that stock. And so with robots, we want them to be able to do that same thing. They should look at an action and not assume, not impart their own understanding of the world on the person and expect the person to be rational under the robot's view of the world. They can then go ahead and be better capable at anticipating what people will do next, as they have that better understanding of human behavior and also better figure out what it is that people are trying to accomplish, what their goals are, and assist them with those goals.
Anka Dragan is a professor at UC Berkeley's Department of Electrical Engineering and Computer Sciences. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Wonderful talking to you, David, as always.
Sign up for Econ Extra Credit at marketplace.org. And I would love to hear a highlight or a low light of your economics reading. Did you see the light or hit the wall? Email me at morningreport@marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.